This episode is sponsored in full by Heartlift International, a 501(c) dedicated to making home and family the safest place on earth. This podcast is one of the far-reaching arms of Heartlift International, and your support makes this possible. Yes, we reach all the way to places like Tanzania, Thailand, and it is because of you. Your donation, no matter the size of that donation, enables me to do this and to offer this to you ad-free. I don't know about you, but I really prefer listening to a podcast that isn't interrupted by ads. And as long as I can, I will keep that at bay. But your support, your tax-deductible donations, really, truly make such a difference and enable me to do this. So today on the show, I'm so excited to bring you Angela Carell, author of Restored in Tuscany, a true story of facing loss, finding beauty, and living forward in hope. Angela's story of how she and her husband bought this amazing property in Tuscany, one that they ended up realizing was going to take a whole lot of work and restoration, is going to so inspire you. You know how much I love Tuscany and was so blessed to go there in 2009 as a surprise visit from my husband for our 25th anniversary. So much of her story just brings me so much joy, and I know that it's going to do the same for you. It's not only a story about restoring a home, it's about restoring a life. And restoring our life that's often met with loss and struggle and difficulty. We just celebrated International Women's Day, and March, in this country at least, celebrates Women's History Month. And we've had so many beautiful, remarkable voices of women here in this season and on the show in general. And for that, I just stop and I pause. And I give a great big thanks to every single guest, and more importantly, for every one of you. You matter. Your voice matters. Your presence matters to me and to every single person along your path today. You were born at such a time as this. This is our time in history. Now, we might not be written up in a history book or make any front pages, but you know what? Our stories, our lives are being witnessed, as it tells us in Scripture, by a cloud of witnesses, by heaven above, and most importantly, by God our Father, because, you know, we are His daughters. And He sees and He hears us and He knows us and He loves us unconditionally and so beautifully. And we belong. We belong to the family of God, and we belong to each other here in this community. So let's welcome our newest Heartlifter, Angela Carell, to the show. Angela Carell, welcome. Welcome to today's Heartlift. Oh my goodness, I've already exclaimed to you that I have to control my emotions because I'm so absolutely thrilled that you said yes to be a guest on our little engine that could. And I was in Belgium when I received the request and the information about your exciting, beautiful, stunning new book, Restored in Tuscany. It does sound like a fiction book.
It does. It could be.
But it's not. It's not, fiction. I just am so happy that you were brave and courageous. I think that's what I first want to say is thank you for imaging for all of us in our middle age because we are in the, you know, I'm 64. I'm not ashamed to say it. We are in, as they say, the adolescence of aging. So we're really still very young. And I still have so many dreams. And I know my Heartlifters have lots of dreams. So, dear Angela, just tell us where this started and where it came from.
I think it has to go back 25 years.
Wow.
To our first trip to Italy. And I had never traveled outside of like Mexico and the Bahamas and Canada. And And we, that was where I wanted to go. And somehow it, that country captured me. I think the art, the history, the architecture, the food, the generosity of the Tuscan people, the hospitality.
Well,
and the Italian people in general. But I just got, I was just became captured with the country. And then we were able to do a lot of other traveling, of course, after that. But I always longed to go back, and we did go back. But then what really happened that started me on the trail for this book was I also write fiction. I've written three fiction books. And I was in the middle of getting ready to start writing. Well, I'd written some. I was getting ready to really dive into the second fiction book. We had just the year before suffered, our family suffered the loss of our son-in-law, who had, it was really kind of shocking and sudden, even though he had a chronic form of leukemia that he had dealt with for 10 years, but there, he just handled it with diet and exercise. But it was one of those things that sort of had that mark that year, that about 10 years is when it would maybe show up. And it just showed up in a big way and ended up taking his life. And so, you know, it, not only are you grieving for this bright young man and his family, but then also your daughter, your grandkids.
So they had
and
children.
So, they had two children, little kids, 5 and 2.5. I think that's, you know, we were grieving, and I think we both love to see places. And so we always said, when we would do Italy, it was pedal to the metal. Let's see what's around the next corner. You know, never
something
exciting. Oh, it is. I mean, always. And so there's room for those kinds of trips. Those are fun trips and exciting. But I think because we were grieving and because I needed space to write this second book, I felt just almost a palpable hunger, longing for, I just had in my head this Tuscan village, because we had been through Tuscany and stayed there a couple times, and very agricultural. So it reminds me of my Kentucky.
You know, I agree. Background. It reminds me of my Virginia.
Same. This has that kind of laid back, connected to the land feeling. And I just was longing for a place where I could just plant some roots, even for a couple of weeks, and just unpack a suitcase, not have to think about the next hotel, the next destination, the next, you know, reading the guidebook, and just be able to focus on the book in the mornings, but then also just to let my soul be filled back up in the afternoons and not just in evenings, just really soak in what it's like to be in a Tuscan village. And so we were able to do that. And we found this tiny place, totally off the tourist path, which is what we wanted.
I know.
And just quiet.
So fun.
A real living, breathing Tuscan village. And that we stayed there for 2 weeks and just fell in love with it.
I'm with you.
The rhythm of life. And I mean, just the locals were so warm and welcoming. And of course, my husband is very friendly and Southern. And so he was just chowing everybody, you know, in the village.
Chow, I know. Love it. Prego, prego. Love it so much. I can't handle it. I'm so sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
Don't be sorry.
No, it's the best.
But anyway, no, I know. I'm just laughing because I know, I so totally know what you're expressing. And you do just know when you connect with a place like that. And anyway, so that we just wanted to keep coming back to that village. And year after year we did. And then finally, one day, we said, why don't we take a peek at what's available And then we found a house that was checked all of the boxes, you know, no renovation, a beautiful view inside the village walls. Those were our three things.
Yeah.
And of course, as the story goes, there was a big renovation that we didn't expect.
Can't wait to read it.
And that's okay. I mean, it was that renovation that I didn't want to do ended up really changing my life and causing me to look at, you know, all of the things really that need to change in my life. And at that time, I was facing my 50th birthday.
Right.
And so I knew something
needed
to change. Yes, it is.
What was that feeling for you, though? Like, why did you feel like something needs to change? Because I think I'm feeling that right now in my life, having just got back from Belgium, like I said, for 6 weeks, dug in my roots, had one place, you know, really got into not a village, but a city. Course, you know, walking back and forth to my daughter's house was amazing, and being connected like that because none of my children live close. And so, but what was it? Like, I bet that every Heartlifter listening is leaning in at this moment. This our lean in moment, I call it. Something needs to change. That's so powerful.
Yes. Well, I think you know something needs to change when what you're doing is not working anymore. And what I mean by that is, I was not growing spiritually. I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I felt like I spiritually was just sort of stuck. I was just stuck in many things, trying to please, trying to do what people expected me to do, trying to satisfy all of these sort of external things that were pulling in different directions. And actually, most of the time, working outside of my giftedness, trying to be something I really wasn't, that God didn't really design me to be. Like, you know, looking at financial reports for the businesses we had started. And I mean, I like a little of that, but just going, trying to dig into managing people. And I'm a creator, not a manager.
Yes.
And so some of those things I just started looking at in my life. And I thought, these are just sucking the life out of me. And at the same time, I wasn't probably on a firm foundation as far as where I was drawing my energy to even be able to see it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total
sense. I think I wasn't
sense.
Even aware.
In what way? Like when you say that, because I just want to dig into your heart so much. So just say, stop digging, because I just have my hoe and I'm just like, I feel like you are such a wealth for us. Not being aware of things that are taking your energy, how did the awareness then come? Was there an aha?
Well,
was there a pivot? Was there a epiphany, or was there just that dull?
I think it was a dull, grinding, just ache almost. And it was just day after day of coming home from doing what I thought I needed to do for taking care of, you know, my elderly mother, you know, doing all the dutiful things, getting this report to this person, doing this thing for this business, trying to be a marketing person, trying to be an accountant, trying to be a technology person. You know, when you run a small business, you're trying to do everything.
We have one.
And so, so, you know.
I do.
And so all of those things at the end of the day, it was just day after day, started really wearing me down. It was just that kind of dripping, grinding, you know, just day after day.
Mundane.
But but here's the other thing I think too that really brought it to kind of a climax, I suppose, is when we lost our son-in-law. I was kind of in that thing of just doing what I had to do, thinking that, okay, in the future I can have help with this or that. I just have to kind of keep grinding it out right now and sort of chasing the carrot that's dangled in front of you, and it keeps moving as you go. So that's sort of how I was living my life. And, you know, in your 40s, you can kind of power through some things.
Without a doubt.
But then,
yes.
Without a doubt. And then that grief happened, and all of a sudden any reserves I had, any margin was just gone. And so I think that's what really brought it to a head is me sort of going introspective a bit and thinking, okay, something is just not going to work for this next decade. Should the Lord give me another decade? I mean, it's just not going to work. Something's got to give.
Yeah. Loss has that kind of effect. it can, I will always say it can, because a big premise of the work we do here is awareness, because awareness is everything. So if we're not living life with our hands, our heart, our mind, our spirit open every morning, you know, when then it'll just go, oh, my son-in-law died, and that's so sad. And but I feel like you seized, God seized you. He, you know, sadly, I have two son-in-laws, and it's hard for me to even think. I just can't. I can't. Can't do it. Ooh, so when you face loss like that, you know, it's a time and period for grief, and grief can be a great guide and teacher if we allow it. But you allowed it, Angela.
I did allow it, and it was painful. It's painful to lean into all that, but
it's awful, actually.
It's awful. But if you don't do it, when it's happening, it's going to come out later in some way.
That's so true.
And so I've had enough in my life to know for sure that that was the case.
Right. You write that you had set that goal for yourself on your 50th birthday. Can I ask you what year? I'm trying to get a timeline in my head. So what year was that?
Sure. Well, I was, I'm 57. So it was seven years ago, which would be 2016. Okay. So when I turned 50.
Okay.
And
that is when he also passed 20.
He died in 2013. Oh. 2014 is when I went to Italy. But all of this is kind of driving, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, when I turn 50, this is going to be different. You know, just sort of setting that goal out there. Okay.
50 is huge.
Be different,
for sure.
Because I'm approaching it. And so it was kind of heavy in my mind.
But would you say it was a dissatisfaction, like that dull ache, like dissatisfaction, or like, I know there's more. I know that this isn't all that God breathed his life into me to be.
Yes. Well, I think the passage that that kept kind of haunting me a bit is when it talks about abundant life. And
John 10:10.
An abundant shouldn't mean busy. And I felt like my life at that point had been very abundant, but abundantly busy. And that was that I thought there's got to be more to when Christ says, I'll give you abundant life. There's got to be more than just being busy and having opportunities to do this and that.
I agree.
So that's what really drove me, I think.
Do you feel like it was God's mercy, his favor? Like he looks down and the scripture tells us that he looks down from heaven for hearts that are searching after him, hungering after him. Call that favor. Yes. What do you want to call that? But that scripture, that's what he's in heaven looking down and going, wow. And I think he must have said to himself, there's Angela. I created her and I see her heart hungering and searching. I'm going to give her a little nudge. I'm going to give her a little help.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I think so. Absolutely. 100%.
He loves you so much, and he loves each and every one listening.
Yes.
So much. And I feel like when he sees a heart that is hungering and thirsting, this is where I'm at anyway. When he sees a heart on the floor, in the closet, walking the streets, crying out, like, oh, there has to be more. More is not always a bad word. More is a really good word in the scripture.
You know,
he wants more and more for us. And so you said it took a year or two.
Yes.
No real change. I love that your honesty. Yeah. Why do we, this question just made me sit back. I'm going to be chewing it like a cow and meditating on it and regurgitating. I don't, cows have five stomachs, right? So they meditate, they bring it back up all the time. We sometimes do not live up to our goals.
Yes.
I have to know what your thoughts are since I'm not holding a hard copy yet, but I can't wait. But
okay,
why is that?
You know, I had in my head when I turned 50, this is my opinion, my story, but when I turned 50, mm-hmm. this was going to happen and that was going to happen. We're going to find a pathway forward with how to deal with, take some pressure off me with the businesses. I go on a trip for my 50th birthday to celebrate. And this is supposed to be the big beginning of this glorious. And I'm going to love my 50s. This is going to be great. And the night before my 50th birthday, we were on a trip. We were in Belize with some of our best friends. And it was my little birthday trip.
Yeah, party.
And the night before, my father-in-law had an accident with a gun and accidentally shot himself.
Oh, he did not.
And so we rushed home.
Oh,
and so my 50th birthday, I'm standing, you know, we're all gathered around his bedside, not knowing if he's going to make it or not. And then the next 6 weeks, we're traveling back and forth to Lexington, taking turns with all of the family who's sitting with him. And he was 88 years old, and he lasted 6 weeks, 4 surgeries, an amazing man. I mean, truly unbelievable,
wow.
Godly man, just, you know, patriarch of the family. And so then it just
Goodness.
Taught me, I thought, you know, all of these big goals, all these big plans, and we don't even know what today holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, when you just don't have any kind of margin in your life for these things, you're just right back to where you started from. But I think the thing kind of going forward from there, that was right before we bought the property in Italy. Mm-hmm. And so that the 50th kind of came and went, no change, because honestly, we were grieving again. We were back in that thing of another sudden loss and just grieving again. And so I think when we started then this again, you know, not expected to do a restoration, we just thought we were going to buy this little place we could just kind of go for holidays and share with friends and family, then ended up embarking on this restoration that I had not planned for, year long in a foreign country, foreign culture, foreign currency, foreign measurement system.
Yes.
I mean, even little
foreign
things.
Foreign construction, like all the things.
Everything.
I can't even imagine.
Materials. Yeah, just the whole thing.
At 50.
Obviously,
you know, not 30.
Yeah, right.
There's
exactly.
a difference.
And yeah, there's a difference, and didn't have room in my schedule really for all that. But through that process, I look back now and I see how I was primed and ready, and the timing was just so perfect because I learned through that process as we were demo day, as we're taking all the junk out of the house, stuff off the walls, there was an amazing moment one day where I walked in and like I said, I was already kind of primed and ready, you know, starting to ask the Lord, just reveal in me sin, bad habits.
Ooh.
What is it you see
you
that needs to be? Yes, I did.
How brave.
And childhood healing. What is it?
Yes, that's my specialty here. Right.
Yes. What I need to go. And one of the things that before I get to sort of the goal thing, one of the things that helped me on this process was I met this man, this Italian gentleman who had been the caretaker for this property. And when I first laid eyes on him, it almost took my breath away because he looked like my long dead uncle that was so important to me from childhood.
Oh gosh.
And I had just, there
like
was
a,
just
little angel.
A whole, yes, there was this whole section of my life around this man.
Please make this a movie.
that I just buried and just put away. And
wow.
Died suddenly and just put that away. And when I saw him, all of a sudden, all this comes back from this period of my childhood that was real formative. And so that was another kind of prompt to dig into that particular area.
Uh-huh.
And as I was, so then kind of back to the demo process, as I was seeing all of this stuff come off the walls and First of all, it was dusty. It was dirty. I walked in and there were dust motes swirling around and you can hardly breathe and just pile of rubble. It's ugly. Mm-hmm. But I looked up and because they had torn off all this old plaster, there was this gorgeous 15th century arch that had been revealed. Gorgeous. I mean, the craftsmanship was just beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
And
who would cover that up?
Who would cover that up? Exactly. Italians who have got so much history that, you know.
Exactly. It's just 15th century.
Yeah, exactly. But I looked at that and it really did hit me that you cannot set a new goal. You can't put new plaster on old plaster. You have to tear off the old.
You do.
You have to get down to the bones. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, what I've always known about renovations, we've done several of them, really hit me that I can't be restored, renewed, renovated until I do the demo work. Yeah. And that set me on that path of actually going in and doing the demo work.
Wow. In your heart.
It was
your heart,
in my
your
heart,
soul, your mind, your body.
Yes. What we call
the Heartless Method. Beliefs, right. Yes.
Exactly. Things I believed from childhood because of events that had happened, things that I had just kind of learned and soaked in. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of goes to the goal thing because like I was looking at that brick wall and how bricks are just laid on top of bricks. And I thought, you know, that's what I've tried to do. I've just tried to layer some new goal on top of a new goal and yet just more to be found wanting.
Yes.
Because there's no way you can achieve that.
Well, because it's not really probably the goal. It's not the God goal. It's not.
Right.
What he's looking down from heaven, what he breathed his life into you to be, it can be a million things. Like you said earlier, it can be the projections of others. It can be stories that have been placed on us, stories that have been hidden. Yes. You know, I just think it is so powerful, this picture, because it's obviously a picture of the work I try to do with people in my life, my clients, my own life, my family's life, my legacy, my history. That there is a 15th century handcrafted piece of exquisiteness. That is our God-breathed identity. That's our essence. Yes. You've just given us a picture of who we are trying to get to in our lives, in our essence. Who really did God create me to be? So that's a stripping. It's a pounding. It's just ugly and it's full of dust
painful.
In the air. Painful.
Yes.
Right. So can you give me a peek, I guess, in how did that look for you? How did that deconstruction, how did that look for you? Did you go to a counselor? Did you go to a therapist? Did you just walk through your life and follow whispers? Like one of the sentences I did get from your book that just speaks to me, because in my very first chapter of my book, Stronger Every Day, I write about my son and his wife's 100-year-old house and how they were bringing it down to the good bones. So I just love it. But you spoke. Houses speak and walls
talk.
And then you said, in a quiet whisper on the wind way. And that's what I'm always talking about, the whispers. So was it that? What did that look like? So someone's listening. And they're like, I'm just bricking goals, man. I mean, I teach online college. I teach how to have smart goals. I do all that. But how did you do it?
Well, I mean, I think there were two parts to it. I mean, one was, again, the digging down the demolition before I could start building back with the new goals and the new way to look at things. For the demolition, again, I think I'd been kind of primed and ready because I had already been kind of thinking my dad had passed away several years before.
Oh,
so
I'd
already
goodness.
Kind of been processing through some
so
of
much
that.
Loss. Yes.
Yeah. That's a lot. I know.
It is. It's a lot. That's what I say.
It's a lot.
Lot. How are you doing?
A lot.
It's just a lot.
It's just a lot. But so I've been kind of unpacking some of that. And yes, I think it's a combination of, I wouldn't say, I mean, I've I didn't do years of therapy or anything like that, mm-hmm. but I've had counselors at certain times that have helped okay. me see things better.
Perfect.
And so I think counseling is wonderful. I think I've read a lot of Christian books. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible, obviously, and just seeking the scriptures and asking the Holy Spirit to really reveal things. Journaling was another thing.
Oh, beautiful.
Do a lot of journaling. That's been big for me. Mm. And I found that even, it's interesting, I even through that process when I was really deep into it, I just had a couple of dreams that spoke to me in a way.
Can you please share? That, I love this. This is liminal space. I love this. This is so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting, but well, I had a dream of one time, this extremely vivid dream of my father who had been sick for about 7 years. Not bad. I mean, he probably the last year really bad. He had cancer, but he just sort of came to me. I mean, I almost would say it's a vision, but mm-hmm. not to get too woo woo, but it just seemed really
vivid. Well, we kind of love woo woo. Good, solid, spiritual woo-woo. The Jesus kind of woo-woo.
Yeah, it's a very solid spiritual
Very solid
woo-woo.
We're very much believe in solid woo-woo. Maybe that's my next book, solid woo-woo.
Yeah, I like that, actually. I think that's great.
We'll see.
But I just had this vivid dream of my dad. He was on the third floor of our house, just sort of this attic room. Huh. And I actually was up there when for some reason, occasionally I'll sleep up there if I'm not sleeping well in our bedroom. And he kind of came and I was sleeping up there and I just had this vivid view of him at the top of the stairs. And this is so weird, but he was like wearing biking clothes, like what you would wear to do
a cyclist,
you know, cyclist clothing, like, you know, the really bright
Fascinating.
Colors and this
right.
kind of spandexy, all this stuff.
He's just riding down the golden streets.
I know. And then he had a glass of red wine in his hand.
This.
I know. And the funny thing was, my dad was a teetotaler. I mean, you know, just didn't at all. But it was sort of, and my sister, who loves this kind of stuff too, I was processing it with her. I said, gosh, I had this most vivid dream. And he was, his whole persona was just so sweet. And my dad, you know, there
had some rough edges.
Sometimes not all, most of the time, no, but he just, I think battled some depression. And so when he would have that, it was just was, it was just harder. He was struggling. And so I think my sister said, you know, I think that just, that looks like the picture of hell. It's like he's just in this one, you know, the biking, the red wine. It's like we were just kind of talking about what in the world that could be. But it was sort of, I don't know, it just gave me a lot of comfort, I guess, as I was going through that process of, you know, digging into past things and just a complicated relationship at times. And and just that picture of restoration, you know, because he was so sick at the end, just restoration, health, you know, that.
So you said it looked like a picture of health.
Yes.
I thought you said a picture of hell. Okay. I got it. I want to clarify. It looked like a picture of health.
Picture of health.
A beautiful glass of red wine that's good for the heart.
Wine, yes. And then the I don't
the
know.
Bright so colors, the healthiness.
Bright colors.
Fascinating. And so that spoke to you, like, okay.
That spoke to me. And then the other thing that was really formative during that time was I was staying at a place where he had served during World War II. And we were there for a conference. And it was in Sun Valley, Idaho, which had been taken over by the Navy as a convalescent hospital in World War II.
Really?
And so I traveled there. Yes, it's a crazy story, but I traveled there with my sister and my dad. And so he was able to go back and see it. And so I felt very connected to that place with him.
For sure.
And so this is like after he had passed away, we were there for a conference and I was in the middle of all of this sort of demo work. There were just some words that I thought, yeah, I know that sometimes when my dad was hurting, he would say things that would be kind of painful. Mm-hmm. But I never could remember what they were. And I while I was there in the night, it came to me so clear exactly what it was.
Wow.
And I have to be honest, I can't even remember now because I literally gave that to the Lord and just rejected it.
Yes.
I can't even tell you. I think I've written it down somewhere in a journal, but I don't even know what it is anymore. It just did not stick with me once I gave it back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Exactly. And so, but it was such a part of that process of just addressing those things that had been maybe painful at in some way. And we're all going to hurt our kids. My goodness.
We sure are, sadly.
We are going to.
I know.
Just part of it.
So painful to finally recognize that.
it's just the truth. And so anyway, wow. I think it was, so those were a couple of times along the way that I felt like helped me journal through some things.
Mm-hmm. And which is what I love again, because we have this picture in our mind, you know, of therapy or counseling or what spiritual direction. I myself, just coming home from Belgium, just went back to a psychologist counselor a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Haven't been with one in decades, probably, but it was like one of my doctors was like, you need to go. You have some stuff that's mm-hmm. really heavy on you right now. You need someone to listen to you instead of you listening to them. Mm-hmm. And driving there, I thought, you know, my whole entire life, one of my biggest things is I've given over control of my thoughts. I've been in many church situations where you had to go to an elder to get approved to marry somebody and that kind of thing. So a lot of, I couldn't think for myself. I couldn't speak for myself. And I couldn't act for myself. And so a loss of independence. And I was driving there going, you know what? I really want to hear from you, God, but I don't necessarily need this man to be God anymore.
Yeah.
I can hear from you.
Yes.
I know you.
Yeah.
I want you, God. I will go through with this. I will give it a few, but I'm not necessarily needing him to prophesy over me, whatever you want to say, or take his words as directly from God. And I'm speaking this because I feel like, especially those of us in this phase and age of our life, have listened to 20 million sermons, I have taught thousands of Bible studies, I've written Christian books, I've spoken all, blah, 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 blah. I possess God, his knowledge, Christ lives in me. And you are unfolding for us such a beautiful image and picture of how he will be our therapist. He will guide us. He will be the Holy Spirit is our counselor.
Yes.
And he'll give you a dream. He'll say, yeah, you know, that one thing your dad said was probably really wounding. So let's open up that wound, get to the blueness, like the proverb says, so it can heal. And it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be like hours of weeping, and it can be just the whisper of, ooh, that needs a little attention. Let's apply some forgiveness. Or is that what you're saying to us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that restoration?
Yeah, I think it's part of the restoration process for sure. And I think verbalizing, I think there's power in speaking things. And so one of the things I would try to do is if something would come to me, then I would just speak it out loud. I do not own that. That is the Lord's and my dad. And just, it really gave me great compassion, honestly, for my dad, who I think, the other thing, this is another kind of dream I had, but I had a time not long after he passed away that I saw him as a child. I just kind of visualized him as, it just sort of came to me, but I just visualized him as a child hurting because of things that had gone on in his family.
Sure.
And grief, three older siblings that died within 3 years of each other in their early 20s.
Oh my goodness.
And so his poor mother was grieving and struggling to be a mother.
And he was younger than the siblings?
He was five.
Oh, my goodness. Five to six to seven.
So, I mean, that just gave me great compassion. When I started looking at his story, I just was able to see how he really did the best he could with the tools he had at the moment. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
you know, and now it's like it really, it helped form my character, and not in bad ways necessarily. And there is some good came of that, because, mm-hmm. you know, the Lord meant it for good. And
that's that Genesis 2:20. I know. Yep. It's a turnaround it God. Just, if we'll let him.
Yep.
If we'll
like
let
Joseph.
Him. Woo, that is beautiful, because it shifts what I like to say. It shifts from the shame game to the grace game.
Yes. Yes.
Because we all want to blame somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we all want to shame somebody. We all shame, you know, blame, all of those grudges, bitterness, all of that. Boy, if we can get where we can shift it, and God shifted it for you, and I'm so grateful. Glory be to God for that. Heartlifters, I'm so grateful to Angela and the time that she gave us to share her story, which has many, many layers, as most of our stories do, right? But she says one thing during our time here in part one that I just would like us to think a little bit more about. Call it a prompt, or just call it a meditation. But she was at a point in her life when she was turning 50, and she writes in her book, I wanted to put a stake in the ground. I want my life moving forward to be different than the life I have lived thus far. I remember having that moment as well when I stood on a Tuscan road, a dusty Tuscan road. Now, that was 2009, it's 2024. 15 years have gone by. But I have written on many occasions in articles, and I taught at many conferences and retreats when I got back. And I made a decision too, because when I went to Tuscany, I was going to turn 50 just a few months later. And I wrote in my journal, I do not want to live the next 25 years of my life like I have lived the past 25. Busy, overscheduled, overdoing it, overworking, a whole lot of overs. Well, I'm 15 years into that, and I'm once again not standing on a Tuscan road, but standing right here in my home, back to a place where I am still overdoing it and living in the land of over, as I call it. I sincerely hope that today, Angela's words, "something needs to change," resonated as deeply in your heart as it did in mine. Something needs to change. What might that be in your life? I am taking this, I'm sitting with it, I'm thinking about it, I'm praying about it, and most importantly, I'm picking up my pen and I'm making some very strong intentions about how I want to move forward in a way, in all the right ways, that is different than the way I've lived even the last 15 years. I'm not sure how to do that, but we're going to do it here, and we're going to do it together. So may Angela's words resonate with you. And I hope to meet you over on Instagram at Janelle Reardon, or over on Substack, our new online community. Please follow me there, because that's where I'm going to be pouring out my heart, and that's where we'll be moving forward together. Until next time.